Welcome to DBT Skills Training at the DBT Center of San Diego. This video is meant to help you have a smooth start to multifamily skills training group. DBT uses a lot of specific terms and acronyms, so it's normal to feel confused in the first few weeks while learning the basics of the treatment. If a term is unfamiliar to you, feel free to ask your group leaders to explain anything that is unclear. For this orientation, you will need your skills binder. The binder contains all the handouts that the group leaders teach in the group and all the worksheets that are assigned for homework. Your binder also contains a phone coaching handout with the phone numbers of all the DBT CSD therapists so that you can contact the group leaders if you're running late or going to miss a group. Parents, you have an additional packet in the front slip of your binder that contains the material you will need for a parent training group. Let's start by turning to page 1 in your binder and start with a short review of what DBT is. DBT stands for Dialectical Behavior Therapy. That first term, dialectical, means that two ideas that typically seem incompatible can be true at the same time, and when considered together, can create a new way of viewing a situation. The main dialect in DBT is acceptance and change. While at first glance, it may seem that accepting yourself and a situation is opposite to working on changing yourself and your life, DBT believes that people can work on these two goals at the same time, and that doing so leads to more improvement than working on just accepting or changing alone. We can work on accepting ourselves and where we are at to reduce suffering now, and work on the changes we need to make to have a more fulfilling life in the long run. The section termed behavior means that DBT focuses on changing emotions, thoughts, and how we experience our lives through changing behaviors. We believe that the destructive behaviors that people want to change when they come to DBT actually serve important functions for that person, such as regulating distressing emotions or communicating with others. The goal of skills training is to teach new strategies or behaviors that can meet these needs, but that have far fewer negative consequences. The skills are grouped into what we call modules that serve different purposes. Distress tolerance and mindfulness are on the acceptance side of the dialect and contain skills that help increase awareness of ourselves and our environment and to cope with distressing emotions without acting destructively. The modules emotion regulation and interpersonal effectiveness are on the change side of the dialect and are focused on changing our behaviors in our daily life to increase how often we experience desired emotions and reduce how often we feel emotional distress. The Walking the Middle Path module contains both acceptance and change skills, while focused specifically on how to help teenagers and their families better navigate conflict that naturally arises during adolescence. Now that we have reviewed DBT and given an overview of the material that we will cover, let's turn to page 5. An assumption is a belief that we cannot prove to be true or false, but that we believe is effective to hold as true during skills training. This first assumption, people are doing the best they can, means that we believe everyone is doing the best they can with their current situations, limitations, and the skills that they already know. The second assumption is that we believe people want to improve. We think that all people want to improve their lives and be happy, even though it may not always look that way. Our third assumption, people need to do better, try harder, and be more motivated to change, means that just wanting to improve and already doing the best that you can is often not enough to solve life's problems and have a fulfilling life. In order to do that, we need to work really hard at learning skills while in DBT skills training and constantly work on addressing issues of motivation. Number 4, people may not have caused all their own problems and they have to solve them anyway. Sometimes when we believe that we did nothing to cause a problem in our lives, we feel very willful about responding skillfully to address the problem. To understand why this is unproductive, we use the following analogy. If a pedestrian looked both ways and carefully crossed a street in a crosswalk, yet a distracted driver hit and injured them, the pedestrian would still need to do the recommended physical therapy and treatments to recover, even though they did not cause the accident. If the pedestrian were to just sit on their hands and refuse to do the physical therapy because the accident was not their fault, then they would not recover. Therefore, we believe it is more helpful to try to respond as skillfully as you can to problems and challenges to meet your goals in life, no matter what the cause of those problems was. Number 5, the lives of emotionally distressed teenagers and their families are painful as they are currently being lived. We believe that everyone is here participating in DBT because life is very stressful and challenging, and no one's enjoying the way things are going. We have a lot of compassion and empathy for the situation that everyone's in and want to do our best to be helpful. Number 6, teens and families must learn and practice new behaviors in all different situations in their lives. For example, home, school, work, and their neighborhood. One of the most common reasons that a person may not improve in therapy is because not enough generalization occurs. Generalization means taking the strategies that you learn in therapy and applying them to real life challenges to help you respond to your actual life challenges more effectively. We know that unless people actually practice their skills outside of therapy, their ability to learn and improve will be very limited. This is the reason that we assign homework and provide phone coaching. When planning your homework practices, plan to try your new skills in areas of your life where you need to improve, not in the areas where you are already doing well. Number 7, there is no absolute truth. This one's a tricky one because oftentimes we want to believe that there are set facts about the world, and there are. However, this assumption is a reminder that all of us only have access to our own perspective and can only see what we already know through our own observation. Therefore, none of us have the absolute truth. We use this story of 5 blind men touching a different part of the elephant to illustrate this point. If you ask the man who's holding the elephant's tail, what does an elephant feel like? It would say, well, it's really long and skinny and has this bristly end to it. The blind man that's holding the side of the elephant would say, no, it's large and broad and tough and very sturdy. The blind man that's holding the trunk would say, no, it's long, tubular, flexible, and has a little opening on the end. All of them are correct because they're all holding a different part of the elephant and have a different perspective. However, we can learn more when we put all these perspectives together and think beyond our own experience. This is what this assumption is trying to remind us of, to help us expand our perspective and think more flexibly about what we might be missing by only thinking from our own perspective. Number 8, teens and their families cannot fail in DBT. DBT has been shown to be a highly effective treatment for adults and adolescents that struggle with emotion regulation. However, we know that not all treatments work equally well for all people, and often therapy patients are blamed if a treatment doesn't work for them. We know that not all cancer treatments work equally well for all cancer patients, and yet cancer patients are not blamed if a treatment doesn't work for them. We believe in DBT that if a teen and their family do everything that the therapist requests of them to do their homework every week, come to group, come to their individual sessions, and yet don't get better, that it's the treatment that has failed and not the family. But keep in mind that this means that you have to actually do all the components of the treatment as designed to know if it will work for you. If you are not attending your sessions consistently, failing to do homework or your diary card, and the treatment still isn't working for you, then we just don't know if it would work or not if it was done as prescribed. Next, we're going to review the guidelines for the Adolescent Skills Training Group on page 6. Guidelines aren't really hard and fast rules, but they are the things that we believe help the group run the most smoothly and work the most effectively for all the participants involved. Therefore, if following the guidelines becomes a problem, your individual therapist or parent training therapist might talk to you individually about how we can resolve these issues so that everybody can have an effective group experience. Number 1, information obtained during sessions, including the names of other group members, must remain confidential. Despite San Diego seeming like a big place, it's often a very small community. People may know each other, attend the same schools, or participate in the same activities. Therefore, we ask that people are very mindful of not mentioning who else is in the skills group or revealing any details about them. Likewise, the leaders can never approach you if we see you in public unless you approach and say hello to us first. This is so that we can protect your confidentiality and not reveal that you are participating in therapy unless you want it to be revealed. Number two, people are not to come to sessions under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Obviously, it is disruptive to the rest of the group members if someone is there who is under the influence, and it would also impair your own learning. So we ask that people refrain from using non-prescribed drugs or alcohol before attending group. Number 3, We actually have a slightly different rule at our clinic. We have what we call a four miss rule. So if you want to cross out the missing more than five group sessions and change it to four in your binders so that you can keep the rule straight, that would be a good idea. What we mean is if you miss four consecutive group or individual sessions, we assume that to mean that you've dropped out of treatment. We use this four miss rule because we know that sometimes people might feel unmotivated to continue in DBT, feel angry at their therapist, or just have other interferences that get in the way of attending therapy. Therefore, if somebody's missing an entire month of therapy, that's a cutoff point to really say we're no longer doing therapy. If you wish to resume after four missing out, you can reapply to return and tell the DBT team how you've resolved the issue that impacted your attendance in the first place. Number four, if you're more than 15 minutes late, you'll be allowed in but will be considered absent. The four miss rule will apply if people are consistently more than 15 minutes late to group. Number five, people are not to discuss any risk behaviors with other group members outside of sessions. Participants do not tempt others to engage in problem behaviors. We have a rule in our group that if you need to discuss an old behavior that you're working on changing, such as aggression, self-injury, or suicidal behaviors, that you just refer to that behavior as old coping. This is to avoid triggering other group members who may be influenced to do the behavior when they hear other people talk about it. In your individual sessions, you're free to discuss all the behaviors in detail that you're working on changing, but in group, we would like you to just refer to those behaviors as old coping. Number six, group behaviors may not contact one another when in a crisis, instead contact their skills coach or therapist. Your therapists are very well trained to help you manage and get through crisis situations, and it can be stressful for other group members to try to assist their co-group members in managing crises. Therefore, please reach out to your DBT team if you need help. Number seven, people may not form private relationships with one another while they're in skills training together. What we mean is that adolescents are not allowed to date each other while being in skills training group, and we would like to avoid cliques forming where people are starting to feel excluded from being a part of the group. We really want the group to be an inclusive place where people feel like they can come, participate, and be accepted by other people in the group. Number eight, people may not act in a mean or disrespectful manner toward other group members or leaders. Disrespectful behaviors would consist of interrupting, insults, refusing to participate, sarcasm, verbal or physical aggression, or bringing restricted items into the group room. And please just keep in mind that everyone is here working on their own goals, and they really need group to be a place that promotes their improvement. Number nine, for teens in a comprehensive DBT program, each adolescent must be in ongoing individual DBT therapy. Group alone is not meant to be a standalone treatment to help fully address all the issues that people come to DBT for help with. Therefore, regularly attending your individual sessions is crucial for getting the improvements associated with DBT. And that is the basics of what you need to know about participating in DBT Skills Group. If you can agree to all of those group guidelines, agree with the assumptions, and think that DBT will be a good fit for you, then you're welcome to begin group. Remember that group is a minimum of a 6-month commitment from the time of your first group session, because that's how long it takes to get through all of the skills in the skills binder. We look forward to having you as a new group member with the DBT Center of San Diego. Thanks, everyone.